Welcome to this virtual service at Westchester Chapel. Thanks for listening to this message that comes directly from God's Word. To hear more, visit westchesterchapel.org and click on Media. Now grab your Bible as we dig into it together.
In 1968, Dr. Martin Luther King gave his famous I Have a Dream speech in front of 2,000 people at a temple in Memphis, Tennessee. This speech took on a more significant meaning because it would be his last. The following day, Dr. King would be shot and killed. People look back on his words and say they were prophetic. Dr. King ended this speech saying, "We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter to me now because I've been to the mountaintop and I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place, but I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know tonight that we as a people will get to the promised land. And so I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." The next day, Dr. King spoke these last words to a colleague. "Be sure to sing Blessed Lord tonight, and sing it well." Immediately after saying these words, this man who taught nonviolence was violently shot by a sniper on a balcony of his hotel room. He was 39 years old. It seems from Dr. King's last words that he knew he was going to die, and he wanted his people to carry on and bless the Lord no matter what. Scriptures also record Moses' last words. They were filled with hope and encouragement to the children of Israel as they were about to enter the promised land. "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you." Israel's next leader, Joshua, took the opportunity with his final words to reaffirm his faith in God and challenge the nation to keep following and serving God. The most remembered of his final words were recorded in Joshua 24:15. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." And King David's parting words to his son Solomon were, "I'm going where everyone on earth must someday go. Take courage and be a man. Observe the requirements of the Lord your God and follow all his ways." All these final words are meant to encourage, to comfort, and exhort the ones who are left behind to remain faithful. All these parting or final words are singularly focused on God and his mission or purposes for those hearing them. These final words were consistent with their lives. What parting words would you want to be remembered for? It's no coincidence that on Sunday, Pastor Linda taught on Jesus' final words to his disciples, "Go, baptize, teach." Jesus directs his disciples to go, and while going, we are to proclaim with our lives and words the good news of God's kingdom. And we, those who have received the life of Christ, are to baptize in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit as a public declaration of our allegiance to Jesus Christ. And we are to teach or disciple, which means to instruct, as Pastor Linda said, to focus on shaping the will, the life, to obey God. And he also tells us that we can do this, fulfill his mission, because he is with us. His presence is always with us by his Holy Spirit. And so today, we come to Paul's final letters, his final words to Timothy before his death. I just want to start with an overview of this new book we will begin to look at today. 2 Timothy is believed to be the last of the three letters, called the pastoral epistles, along with 1 Timothy and Titus. It is believed that Paul wrote this letter during a second imprisonment after the one recorded in the book of Acts. Paul was martyred during the reign of Nero, which ended in 68 AD. And so this letter would have been written somewhere between 64 AD and even as late as 67 AD. This was a time of intense, brutal persecution of Christians. And so this was an extremely difficult and fearful time for believers, causing some to remain faithful even to death and others to turn from their faith. And so Paul's final words to Timothy have a particular significance. In this letter, Paul strongly and boldly exhorts Timothy to continue to fight the fight of faith. Paul exhorts Timothy and all believers to persevere in the gospel, even as he himself is approaching death. I imagine the enemy is trying to tempt him to deny all he has lived for, but he perseveres. Perseverance is defined as doing something despite difficulty or delay in achieving success. I found it interesting that the sentence used to describe or help us understand the meaning of this word is his perseverance with a technique or the task illustrates his single-mindedness. Single-minded is defined as having or concentrating on only one aim, one purpose. You cannot persevere at something, at a task, if you are not single-minded, focused on that task. And so Paul, despite suffering, imprisonment, and impending death, is not focused on any of those things, but Paul is focused, single-minded, on God and his gospel mission. While Paul knows and understands what Timothy and other believers are going through at this time, Paul understands what it feels like to be abandoned and left alone to face death. As some have abandoned Paul, and others like Timothy are away, busy doing God's work. And I imagine Paul also remembers when God intervened miraculously, sending an earthquake that shook the prison and set him free along with Silas. But it seems that in this season of Paul's life, he is content and knows that his time has come to die for his faith. Paul knows God can do whatever he wills and is able to free him from this prison at any time. But Paul is content to accept God's will, like Jesus, even if it means death. And while in prison, Paul does have a request. He is hoping that Timothy, his son in the faith, his faithful friend and brother in Christ, a co-laborer in the faith, would come to visit him before he dies. And so this letter is very personal. When we are nearing death, we want to see our loved ones and express our love to them. And we also want to leave things in order before we go. Instructions for those who remain. And that is why Paul writes this letter. Paul also asked Timothy to bring him books and writing materials, since he doesn't know the exact time of his death. He chooses instead to focus on God and working on the mission God has given him. You see, Paul's desires to persevere by choosing to be single-minded, focused on God and God's mission for him to the very end. And so Paul continues to document, to write, so that others may be instructed even after he is gone, and so that others will come to know the truth, the gospel truth, the good news that Jesus saves. Let's read our text for today, 2 Timothy 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ our Lord. As we have studied many of Paul's letters, his introductions and greetings seem similar. In verse 1, we see Paul confirms his apostleship once again. An apostle of Jesus Christ is the one who is called and taught by Jesus Christ. He is a disciple, but he is also an apostle, one who is officially authorized by God to represent him, one who is commissioned by God. We know the first original 12 apostles were called or chosen by Jesus, taught and authorized to represent and speak about Jesus, and commissioned by Jesus to go, baptize, teach, or make disciples. And we also saw that they can only do these things empowered by the Holy Spirit to be like Jesus and do his works. But some in that day questioned whether Paul was an apostle. They questioned Paul's authority, his mission. I suppose that seeing Paul in prison and suffering may have made some feel that God's favor was not upon him. As with Jesus, some also question why, if he was the Son of God, he did not come down from the cross. This picture of Jesus and Paul doesn't look, humanly speaking, like the picture of one blessed by God. But Paul had an encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus at a time when Paul, like Nero, was persecuting and murdering Christians. Note here, Paul once looked like his enemy, but that personal encounter with Jesus completely changed Paul's heart and turned him around from one participating in the persecution and murder of Christians to one who is now one of them, a follower of Jesus Christ, now being persecuted and awaiting death. This doesn't make sense by man's thinking. Why would anyone want to follow Jesus under these conditions, to death? And some might also question, why would God even choose Paul? I have also wondered why God would choose a Pharisee, a religious leader, and a chief of the Jews, and a murderer of Christians, to be the greatest advocate and witness for the Gentiles. Why wouldn't God use a Gentile convert, one from among them? But God does what God does, and God's ways are always perfect and wise, and even odd compared to human ways. God works out of the box, and in the end, we know it is him, because he is the only one who can change a man's heart, sanctify a man or a woman, and use him or her for his purposes. So Paul, once murdering Christians, is now facing death as a Christian. And Paul says here in verse 1, this is in keeping with the promise of life in Christ Jesus. Although Paul is nearing an earthly death, he knows this is not the end. Like Jesus knew and believed his Father's words, Jesus knew he would resurrect and be with his followers always by the Holy Spirit. This is something Paul believes with all his heart, even as he faced death. Paul knew he didn't have to fear death or what man would do to him. Paul wants Timothy to know and live out this truth. We do not have to fear those that kill the body. In Christ, we have the promise of life, life eternal. And so when it looks like we've died this earthly death, we live on by the Spirit who gives life. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though he die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? 1 John 11:25-26. Paul believed, and that is why he prays in verse 2 for Timothy, his dear son. Grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I think Paul is showing us here a key to holding on to the faith, to persevering, and to be single-minded by recognizing God's grace and mercy, God's gift of salvation. Seeing God the Father's grace and mercy to send his only Son to die, and seeing the Son, Christ Jesus, his grace and mercy to die for us, even while we were sinners, even murderers, as Jesus teaches, we don't have to act on it. But even if we murder in our hearts, when we are angry or cursing a brother or sister, we are guilty of murder. But praise God, he changes our hearts by the Spirit and the Word. Like Paul, this recognition should humble us and allow us to look at others without judgment, and even those who kill and persecute us, knowing we, like them, were once sinners. And except for God's amazing grace and mercy to offer us the gift of salvation, we would still be lost. Paul knew this without a shadow of a doubt. Paul understood that forgetting this in the midst of persecution and death would turn us away from faith in God. It would develop fear in us and cause us to fear our enemies, cause us to develop unforgiving and bitter hearts towards others, especially those that hurt and threaten our way of life and even our very lives. Our human reaction to one that hurts or harms us is to withhold love, to want revenge and even death and curses for them. But Paul knows this is not Jesus' way. Paul knows and has been taught that Jesus said that in the latter days the love of many will grow cold. Paul also remembers that Jesus gives instructions to follow his way of love. And this is the way of peace. And this way of love and peace can only be followed by following Jesus with his life in us. And so Paul prays for peace. God's peace is beyond human understanding. It is beyond human understanding that we would love and pray for our enemies, those who cause us pain, those who persecute us, and those who murder us. And even on the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them. And Jesus stayed on the cross despite all the pain. He knew it was the way for our salvation and peace with God. And because of Jesus, only Jesus, Paul could have peace while in a Roman prison. Yes, this is beyond human understanding. Paul is in a place where prisoners were treated brutally, not like humans. And this might have made some of our prisons look like luxury hotels in comparison. And this was also the place where Paul knew he was awaiting death. He was on what we call death row. I imagine he heard and even saw other Christians being martyred for their faith, some abandoning their faith to protect their lives. I imagine the enemy tried to bring thoughts to Paul's mind, but Paul knew the words of Jesus. For whosoever desires to save, protect his life will lose it. But whosoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Mark 8:35. This is the gospel, and these words are spirit and life. Are you willing to lose your life for Jesus' sake and the gospel? Will you persevere, be single-minded, focused on God and His mission, believing, knowing God's grace and mercy to save your life, even when it seems like you're losing it? How do we do that? We pray to see God's grace and mercy and peace so that we can be single-minded as we walk this journey. Let us learn from Paul's example to be single-minded on Christ and the mission He has given us to be a biblical picture of Christian community. Abandon ourselves to the Lord Almighty, making disciples and destroying strongholds. Jesus gives us the gift of grace, His Holy Spirit to persevere, to be single-minded when everything around us is trying to distract us. We can focus on Jesus and have His peace. Let us learn from Paul's example. I once feared persecution, but I pray I hold on to the life of Jesus. Single-mindedness means there is only one life being lived here, and that is God's life. In Scripture, single-mindedness comes from the Greek word psyche, which means one-souled. In other words, God's life is freely coming forth from this person's heart, producing godly life actions in his soul. This is a person who is spirit-filled and is living the truth. In other words, his words and deeds match. In your relationships with one another, have the mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Let us choose to focus, to be single-minded on God, His gospel truth. Let us see His great love, grace, and mercy to humble Himself and die for us so that we can have peace with Him, so that with His presence, His very life, His power by the Spirit, regardless of what the enemy tries to put in our way, we can go and bring this truth to others and make disciples. This is the truth of the gospel. This is what Paul stood for and was willing to live and die for. God is speaking to us today as a church community, and to those also who join us in this season. Will you persevere, choose to be single-minded on me, and be obedient to my words and the mission I have called you to by the power of my Holy Spirit? You can have the mind of Christ and bring all your thoughts under submission to my will. Each one can move and offer the gifts and resources I have provided for my mission to make disciples. There is nothing to fear in doing this, because I will be with you to accomplish all the purposes for which I have called you. I have heard our pastors and our warfare prayer director, Liz Jennings, pray for us in this when praying for the Battle of White Plains. They pray against the spirit of double-mindedness. It's no coincidence that Liz also taught us not to fall into temptation, to ask God to help us not to fall into temptation. Today, let us recognize when we are not focusing on Him, when our thoughts are not single-minded, focused on Him and His mission, but on self and other things. I have asked Pastor Linda to pray this today. Let us align in agreement with that prayer. that we would be single-minded on God and his mission for us. Let us pray.
Lord, we have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. We bless you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, for such a great salvation, that when we were so desperately lost in our sins and dead, you loved us and you called us. You died for us and you forgave us. And so, Lord, we desire now to live for you. We ask you to clean us of double-mindedness, clean us of our distraction, clean us, Lord, of self. We do come in the name, in your precious name, Lord, and ask you to wash us clean of these things, if these are part of things affecting us now, Lord. We do ask you, Lord, that you would ready us for your battle, that you'd belt us in truth and cover us with the righteousness of Christ, that the shoes of the gospel will be on our feet of peace and preparation, the shield of faith in our hand, the sword of the Spirit, and the healing helmet of salvation on our head, strength and peace and anointing coming down, Lord. And so we come before you and ask you, Lord, that you would enable us now to be single-minded, that our eyes would be on the King, our eyes would be on the kingdom, that even as the one who sold in the parable all they had to buy the pearl of great price, we pray that we would be singly focused, abandoning ourselves wholly to you, giving all for you, Lord, and for the kingdom. And so we do come, Lord, and you have called us to mission. You have called us to make disciples. You have called us to destroy strongholds. And you have called us to do this, particularly in a prayer and worship battle for the Battle of White Plains and for New York City and beyond, Lord. And so we come before you now and ask you to cover us, Lord, in your precious blood and to drive the enemy away. Bind up anything whose name or function is double-mindedness. Bind up anything away from us whose name or function is distraction. Bind away from us anything whose name or function is two-track or two-souled. Anything whose name or function is idolatry of self. And especially, Lord, double-mindedness. And so we ask you to clean us, refresh us, bind up this enemy, these enemies, Lord, that would come against us. And we call for them to be destroyed now, permanently in the abyss before their time, according to your word and your will, and to fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, every place vacated by the enemy. And we ask you, Lord, that there would be no replacements, but rather that we would move forward now, full of your Holy Spirit, single eye on the King and the kingdom, single eye to love God and love one another, to love God, to love our neighbor as ourself, single-minded, Lord, for the Battle of White Plains, single-minded for the battle for New York City, single-minded for those you are calling us to while going to make disciples, single-mindedness to share the hope that is within us, single-minded, Lord. We abandon ourselves to you afresh today. And yes, Lord, we have decided to follow Jesus. And Lord, I have the sense you're saying, yes, to follow me in mission. And so, Lord, yes, we agree to follow you in mission. And so, Lord, we praise you and we bless you. And we seal these prayers to the Lord God Almighty in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our King and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for listening. After hearing the message today, if you'd like to start a relationship with Jesus or rededicate your life to him, why not do it now? Pray with me right where you are. Lord Jesus, I turn from going my own way, and I choose to follow you. Forgive me for my sins. I thank you for dying on the cross to cover them and rising again from the dead. I choose now to live for you, and I receive your life into mine. Amen. If you prayed with us, get in touch through our contact page at westchesterchapel.org. There you can find more information on how to grow in your faith and where we meet. We'd love to have you join us.